Out is the name of the Jason Statham movie about podcasting.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Listen here, Sunshine. I got to record a fucking podcast.
What's that?
All right.
I got to get out of here. I got to hard out. I can't do that accent. I can't do that.
You got to hit the
Here's the thing: is it's going to give me dysphoria to try and do his voice. So okay. I'm going to talk about
well, okay. Okay. Well, let's just start. Let's start clean.
Yeah.
Sync point.
Oh
sync,
yes.
Sync point. Sync right, point is the sequel. Hard out two. Sync point.
In sync point, he's like recording a podcast tour on like a cruise ship.
Yeah. So the first Jason Statham podcast movie is called Hard Out, and the second one is called Hard Out 2:Sync Point.
Yeah, they're really good. We did them on KJV. Huge fan.
Jason Statham then had a podcast series, like a limited podcast series about the making of Hard Out and Hard Out 2:Sync Point, which was called Let Me Take That Again. He's really charming on
Hard,
Let Me Take
Hard
That
Out
Again.
3, the patron. Yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Kill James Bond, a podcast where we talk about movies.
Wait a second.
Run it back.
You got to take it again.
Riley, like you're movie. Not that transgender yet.
Slow down, Padawan.
You got the little shitty Padawan rat tail.
You haven't been trans long enough to be on Kill James Bond. Right?
I have a Padawan rat tail, but it's got like a pink bow. All right. Mm-hmm. Just kidding.
Sounds welcome like you've thought about this a lot, huh?
Mm. Welcome to No Gods, No Mayors, the podcast where you don't have to be as trans as Kill James Bond, but it helps.
But it helps.
That's right. I'm the mayor for this episode. Me, Riley.
You're Riley.
Yes.
This whole time.
And I'm joined by my dear co-mayors, November and Maddie. And I did the thing again where I decided a Portuguese mayor is the mayor for me.
You know, Lisbon is always the first stop.
Yeah, well.
Well.
Before we get to that, though, I do want to ask you a question.
Okay.
Which is, have you heard the haters say that New York is dead?
You know, I have heard the haters say that New York is dead.
No. Is this a sort of a hiya situation?
Yes, this is a...
I can hear the haters now coming over the hills.
Hiya, they say. The haters.
The haters. Before we go into Municipal Roundup, I just wanted to recognize we have another song and it's so good.
People keep writing us songs.
Bless our musical fans.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think we should put the second song at the end of this episode as we did the first song at the end of that episode.
A second song.
That's right. Yeah. What's the name of the beautiful person who put this together?
The name of the band is Me Rex.
We have actual bands doing this now. Someone was in the replies being like, "I saw you open for Los Campesinos, and now you're writing songs about my favorite podcast." Wow. I think we've made it. I think we've really they like us. They really like
they really,
us.
Really, truly, City Hall has fallen down, and my sash has fallen off. In sort of appreciation.
When your hall falls down and your sash falls off.
Yeah.
No, then that whole bit elaborates into an extended Coldplay fix you bit that I'm going to think up later and then have Sam edit back in. That's right. I'm not going to do that. Sorry, Sam.
Perfect. This song is called Mayoral Roundup. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also like the band Me Rex's commitment to getting the name of the segment wrong, which is shows that they are true fans.
True fans, or perhaps two of the three hosts of the show.
Yes.
In a lot of ways. Anyway.
Mayor News, I think it's called.
Unlike the kind of, I don't know, like doleful folk music of the previous one, this one is like a little more like a jangly country. And I like them both. I didn't think that country and folk would both be such municipal genres of music, and yet it makes perfect sense.
Give me that old mayoral music.
That's right. Down at the local honky-tonk. But it has to be local. It's not state or national.
Do not take me to the national honky-tonk, whatever you do.
No. Go to regional to the honky-tonk.
So, anyway, we love the music. If you make music and want to make music, please keep making the music because we love listening to the music.
Unsolicited, ideally.
Yeah. Rolling. So the next thing is, I have to repeat my question from earlier. Have you heard the haters? Yeah, municipal roundup. Have you heard the haters?
Do you hear the haters sing?
Posting the posts of angry men.
Yeah. That New York is dead.
I have been hearing that more and more from the worst freaks on earth, actually.
Well, Eric Adams reported a conversation that happened to him, which is a hater said that New York is dead. And rather than Eric Adams responding, a whale leapt out of the water and said, don't listen to them, Eric.
He was quote posting or quote tweeting, Xing, whatever, a post that was like a photo of a whale off of Brooklyn. And it says, this was taken just off Brooklyn last week. Our waters aren't just alive, they're teeming. And Eric Adams has taken this opportunity to write a capital P post. Like, this is like, we found on his staff a poster. Like, this is a real...
this is the issue. This is the real issue for me, is someone has told Eric Adams about the internet.
Yeah, yep. this is someone doing like fave star posting for Eric Adams. This is like the whale starts breakdancing.
Because someone has shown him the posts, the memes, and now he's kind of redone his entire brand to be kind of meme conversant. He's doing like pull-ups and stuff.
I mean, this is the Zoran effect, right? Is that this young guy shows up and he's very internet literate. And he does these vertical videos that the teenagers love, and he gets all the Gen Zs out to vote for the first time. And people are like, well, what worked? Was it the things that he was saying? No, it had to have been the way he was saying it via posting. Yeah. So get me posts, he's yelling, Eric Adams, probably.
Yeah, and so it's like Radmilk wasn't actually killed by those cops. They just he used that to fake his own death and then start supporting Eric Adams for mayor.
Yeah, don't
the raddest of milks.
If you're listening, New Yorkers, don't rank Radmilk.
All right, Maddie, you had another municipal roundup item.
I had another item.
Item. Item.
This was sent in by a listener named Levi Magnuson, who sent in some beautiful news from the
a listener with a fucking Moby Dick character ass name. Let me just say,
About this takes place in I don't know if it's pronounced Minot or Mino, because who knows with America which way they do it. I'm gonna say Mino.
If it's like the Air Force Base, it's Mino.
It's Mino. South Dakota, the magic city,
Mino. As they know it. Sure. Home of many nuclear weapons, I believe.
Home of Mino.
Home of Mino. Yeah. having a nice glass of Mino Noir, the worst wine you've ever tasted in your life. It's technically an ice wine because it's very, very cold.
And radioactive.
Much of the year.
Yeah. It's got a very unique sort of effervescent fizzy taste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if you compare that to like a Mino Grigio, that's completely different, you know?
Jesus criminy Christ.
There's a guy right now in a missile silo laughing at that.
Yeah. So speaking of Mino Noir, this is by a local reporter
named
Rob.
Suicide by Mino Grigio.
What else are they going to do? They've got nothing to do but listen to podcasts down there.
I've got a wine segue going here because the guy's name is Rob Port. Anyways, you ruined it with your other better joke.
Anyways,
how dare you have a better joke than me?
Sam, edit out all of my jokes in this as punishment. Just have me just doing like all the reacts. Just give me the kind of like the serious edit where I'm just like,
Hey, Sam, can you go to November's house and put a piece of duct tape over her mouth so she doesn't interrupt me anymore.
I think you could probably outsource that one to Gwen, but sure.
Could you please re-edit the episode so that November and I are only saying, you could just find us saying these words throughout the episode.
Yeah.
So we're only saying, great point, Maddie.
Basically, like Sam, can you make it so that Maddie can like wish us into the cornfield?
Yeah.
Can you edit me into being like a better person, like socially?
Yeah. Could you edit me back in time so I can correct my mistakes?
Hey, can you make it so Riley is a sort of like a puppet on a spring with his head bouncing? So this one guy, Rob Port, who is reporting for InForum, which appears to be a local news source in South Dakota. But he appears to be writing a lot about Mino politics, and I found this article very fascinating because this one reporter, Mr. Port.
Rob Port, reporter in... Yeah, sure.
It's me, Rob Porter. The reporter. So there, the Mino is in the middle of a special election right now because this guy Port, his reporting exposed the previous mayor Tom Ross that he had sent a pornographic text to a city attorney, and this guy resigned, and now there is a special election going on. And this guy keeps like uncovering more things about all the people running for the special election.
A pornographic text, not just like a sexual text, but a pornographic text
to the city's attorney. I did not. Yeah. So egregious misconduct. So one of the candidates seeking to replace him, Alderman Rob Fuller, is delinquent on more than $17,000 in property tax and pled guilty to a domestic violence charge in 2009.
Wow.
But the article,
everybody's got a lot of stuff going on in Minot, I guess.
Yeah, it's like an incredible little race that I want to keep paying attention to. But another candidate, Josiah Roisey, has a significant criminal history, which includes a conviction for resisting arrest in Florida. He was also been detained in North Dakota.
Do you think South Dakota and North Dakota have like a careers situation going on where they're like, we don't recognize the authority of like the law in North Dakota?
Correct.
There's one Dakota and we're it. You know?
Do we think that maybe the Dakotas kind of send their biggest miscreants to seek public office in one another as a kind of like sabotage system?
Finding out that South Dakota has flown a bunch of weather balloons full of garbage over the border with North Dakota.
Yeah. I did not go to... Okay, I need everybody right now because... Okay, so per an agenda item on Monday night's city council meeting this a couple weeks ago, it's been revealed that Roisey, a former model and reality show contestant who styles himself the constitutional mayor. And I would like everybody listening right now to go to constitutionalmayor.com.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Wow. What a fella.
And I just...
Whoa!
Like,
can Skyrim belongs to the Nords. Fucking hello. Installed one too many Skyrim mods to make the man look more like this.
Keep scrolling down. Keep scrolling.
Join me.
Movie night. Josiah Roisey, constitutional mayor, invites you to an evening with constitutional sheriff Richard Mack.
Watch a Dinesh D'Souza movie.
I knew the constitutional mayor thing was like a riff on a constitutional sheriff. I got that, right? Yeah. But like...
Mm-hmm. Anyways, there's a constitutional rally. There's a band performing Toto songs.
And Van Halen and Journey.
Yeah.
Sounds really, really good. The band is called Sons of David, by the way, which I'm not sure what that's about.
So he's, you know, a real nutcase. I could see how he's a former
really
model.
Nice, really like high definition on this t-shirt. You know, this is like, it's a real model shot, like of the t-shirt. I'm seeing the like, you know, like the kind of, I don't even know what you call it, like the weft of this shit, you know?
Yeah,
like,
it's wefty.
It's wefty as fuck. Like, what was the shot on, like a medium format? Wow.
Someone's got a camera.
Someone's got a fucking Hasselblad and Minot.
Like so many people, it's like he was like a Ron Paul libertarian who just like didn't really care.
I don't even care about that. I want to pull this image and find the EXIF data from it and find out what this was shot on.
Yeah, but then he says, it wasn't until the COVID shutdowns of 2020 that I felt a deep sense of urgency, which peaked as I saw that Mayor Sean Sipma raised the rainbow flag over City Hall. Many
holes.
Such cases. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So this is a cool guy, but he is suing. He's filed a federal lawsuit against the police department locally.
Maddie, if I can just ask, surely this isn't for some kind of insane reason.
Well, Riley, he has filed a federal lawsuit against the Mino Police Department and Ward County Sheriff's Department over a law enforcement search of his property for bomb-making materials. So he said, do not search my house for bomb-making materials. I'm going to sue you for doing so.
That if I was a law enforcement officer, that would lead me probably to search someone's house for bomb making materials.
Yeah, they said like illegal search and seizure. I don't know why they would be searching this guy's home for bomb materials just because he operates a contracting business called Stormtroopers LLC.
Mm-hmm.
Just a normal sort of
Yeah.
Yeah. So he has in the past pled guilty to endangering by fire or explosion and possess or sale of machine guns, auto rifles, silencers, and bombs. So this was all because this guy, Patrick Michael Wagner, was staying on his property who had pled guilty to owning bombs.
This is a very, very South Dakotan type situation. Also, shout out to Gideon Dominguez, professional photographer in Sacramento, who shot this on a Nikon D800. that shit really paid off. It looks fantastic, dude.
Tremendous. So this guy, Wagner, had pled guilty to having bombs on January 6, 2020. No relation.
It's an auspicious date.
Yeah, just like there's like a ley line running under that date on the calendar.
You think he like slept in? Like he was supposed to bring. He was the guy that was supposed to bring the bombs
the
to January 6th.
For the fucking he forgot.
It was like the Bay of Pigs. It was like all of the guys running in were like, don't worry. We're not just going to go mill around the White House and put our feet on the desks and stuff. Yeah. There's going to be artillery support coming any moment.
Yeah. Listen, though, they'll get the last laugh when Nancy Pelosi finds those exploding cigars in her desk that they left for her. So, yeah, they're seeking $75,000 against the police department for searching his compound just because of all the Nazi stuff there.
If you have a compound, it should be legal for it to be searched all the time. Like if it's called a compound.
Yeah. Particularly the kind of Nazi kind of compound, which I think is most of the compounds you're going to get in the Dakotas.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to get in touch with Josiah Royce, the constitutional mayor.
Wait a second. Josiah Royce, first of all, is using an image that was as his headshot that was taken on June 19th, 2015 at 2:35 in the afternoon. This is a 10-year-old headshot that you're using here.
That's really not into the weeds.
This is catfishing shit to
me.
You know
what? I'm looking at his, like, I've pulled up an Instagram post here. That is my general response to the Mino whiners and complainers. I've upset both sides, it seems. Let's have a conversation about it. So, but
the
he looks. This is from like a couple months ago, and he looks supremely busted compared to his headshot.
Yeah.
If you
just Google image him, the third Google image shot is a thing of him in a Viking costume from the Ninja Warrior Sasukapedia wiki. Because he competed on competed on two seasons of American Ninja Warrior.
Did he?
He did. Mm. He cleared the first two obstacles in season six, but then went out on the spinning log.
Oh, I mean, that'll always get you.
Yeah. And then he had an awkward dismount on the lunatic ledges and got bounced into a pool, apparently. Yeah.
Well, I hope this guy wins the mayoralty of, you know.
I do too now, maybe apart from all of the Nazi bomb stuff. There's also an image of him wearing the largest and most Bloodborne style hat I've ever seen in my life that looks like it was made out of sheet metal.
What the fuck?
So here's the thing. If he wins,
the brim is at 45 degrees.
We can do a whole episode about him.
Yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Until the mayor Taculus tells us that candidates is mayors.
Right now he looks like Val Kilmer in Heat. Brackets not in a good way.
He looks like what if the thing that happens to Robert De Niro in Heat happened to Val Kilmer in Heat, and then 10 years passed.
And what I was going to say is I feel the rest of the episode coming around that corner, and I'm ready to rock and roll.
All right, let's do it. Rolling. Ladies, here's what I've done. Mm-hmm. I've gone to Portugal again. I've decided...
Of the mind?
I actually went to Portugal a couple weeks ago for a holiday in Porto, and it was really nice.
But more importantly, you went to the Portugal of the soul.
Yes. The mayor Taculus has sort of directed me into
Portugal.
They're hooking you up to an EKG, and it's like, why is it playing Fado?
Yeah, it is hooked me. It is moved me into kind of an eddy or a cul-de-sac of Portuguese mayors.
You're not lost in the sauce. You're lost in the pasta stenata.
Yes, thank you.
This guy's chomping on the Francesinha of the long night. Yeah,
I'm drowning in wonderful blueberry-ish Touriga Nacional.
I hope we're enjoying the things the hosts know about Portugal segment.
The Douro Valley, everybody.
Yes, the wine.
Anyways, I'm cracking open a cold Porto Tonico and I'm ready to listen.
Yes. Mm. All right. Look, we're gonna all talk about Isaltino Moraes, who I believe is whatever Portuguese listeners we have are probably being like, thank God they're finally talking about this guy because he's a lot. There's a lot to this guy.
I love when a guy's a lot. Bigly in favor of that. Mm-hmm.
So Isaltino Moraes has written a few books. The first book he ever wrote was on specifically the laws around being a Portuguese mayor, because he's a lawyer.
Oh, so he literally wrote the book on being a mayor in Portugal.
Correct. It was called Framework Law of Local Authorities, Competence of the Respective Bodies and Complementary Legislation, annotated. This, of course, so, was translated.
So not a real like page turner then. Uh-huh. He didn't write like a thriller about being the mayor of a Portuguese mayor.
And the reason I share with you the title of that book is later on, I'm going to share the title of another book he wrote, and we're going to remember the sort of vibe of the first one.
Okay.
The thing about Ixaltino Moraes is that he's bad. He's bad, but very effective.
Oh, he's Portuguese Frank Rizzo. Frank Rizal. Francisquino Rizal.
So a lot of his constituents, by the way, they fucking love him. And they share this very common opinion between him, which I'm going to sort of come back to a few times, which is, yes, fine. We admit he's a crook. He loves to do crazy projects that don't go anywhere, but also he does good for us. Like, uh-huh. He steals, but he works. So we like him. And unlike Willy Lantigua, who did good for his constituents by like doing particular friends, particular favors, or like partying with them or whatever.
Yeah, but you had to be his friend to do that, right? Like you had to be in with him. You had to be his like cousin or whatever.
Yeah. Ixaltino Moraes, genuinely, like he seems, again, unless I'm like totally off base, because I've now spent so long reading translated articles about this guy. He seems to be, as a mayor of Oeiras, O-E-I-R-A-S, like kind of weirdly almost effective sometimes.
Just he's reading, learning Portuguese by virtue of exposure to mayoral articles. And so the first word you learn is like embattled.
Embatalao. So he's also a maniac. So anyway.
Well, that's sort of the concept of the show, is that all mayors are maniacs.
Yeah. Mm. This is probably one of the most like just boringly effective mayors. Like when I think of most of the ones I choose, it's like, oh yeah, they couldn't stop stealing, and then it turns out like all of the budget for the stadium was being plunged into like horse betting or whatever.
Yeah. But the only reason they had that budget in the first place is because they were able to bully like sort of regional bureaucrats.
Yeah, exactly. So this is who this guy is. So he was born in 49 in a town called Mirandel, and his parents die when he's very young. So 13, 18 years old, respectively. So he moves to Lisbon while Portugal is still very much a dictatorship of the Estado Novo.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's moved to Lisbon in like 1970. So he's got a good few years of dictatorship. And part of this, of course, involves him getting sent to the colonial war in Angola.
Ooh, okay.
About his war experience, Moraes said, "I have no trauma because I lived good times."
Okay. Turn the page on that one.
Why don't people think of this? Are they stupid? If you like, you can't get PTSD if there's no T to be S'd by P it. Like, yeah.
There's no D. There's no disorder.
Go to the war, but in such a way that you're having a good time.
Yeah, yeah. I've got no traumatic stress ordered. Come on.
What the fuck? I didn't even order this traumatic stress.
Yeah, he was doing Angola MASH. Basically, like he was doing like pranks with his buddies. So he says,
I mean, this is the weird thing about Portuguese colonialism, right? Is it differs from like British or French or Spanish or whatever, in that they did all of the like horrible colonial counterinsurgency stuff. But you get the sense that as much as they still did it on a kind of emotional level, their heart wasn't in it. And that's why they came back home and instituted a left-wing military coup. One of the only times that's ever happened.
So basically, he says, they were one of the best times of my life. There was extraordinary proximity at that stage in Angola to not much danger.
Oh, okay. I'm going to tell that to the 100,000 civilians that died. Yeah.
Cool. So, that's a great way of saying there was no danger to me, is there was an extraordinary proximity to no danger.
I think that might have been a translation.
No, I really like that. I want him to talk this way. I really kind of need him, in fact, now to talk this way.
Okay, we're going to imagine that there are no translation artifacts. This is just literally what he said.
Yeah, he had a vocal take where he talks like a Google Translate.
Yeah. Yeah, being invited to like a barbecue and it's like you are in extraordinary proximity to never having a bad time.
So he returns to Portugal, he goes to law school, he becomes a prosecutor. And also within the same year, he gets inspired by the writing of Francisco Chá Carneiro, the founder of the Social Democratic Party, joins that organization, which rises up against Salazar and then like deposes him, basically.
Oh shit, okay. So he's like a like in Portuguese DSA then.
Essentially, yes.
DHI.
DHI is
pronounced. We're going to say DHI.
It's got the little, like squiggle over the S as well. Yeah.
So they'll pause for a brief moment because we're talking about a Southern European political party called the Social Democratic Party, which was involved in the deposition of a dictator.
Great.
What do you think its broad political positions have ended up being over the last, say, 30 years?
Like now? Like, yeah. What do I think the Portuguese Social Democrats are like now?
Yeah.
Alarmingly fascist.
Uh-huh. Maddie?
Yeah, I was going to say they're probably no longer like the DHL and are probably closer to Golden Dawn.
They're the... the weird thing is, because Chega already takes that place in Portugal.
Oh, right.
They're the Dennis Duffy party. They're socially conservative and fiscally liberal.
Oh, they're FDP guys. Okay. Yeah. Right. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. I got you. Yeah. I had to relate that to a German sort of context.
Of course. There.
Sure. They're like marketeers, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But also that's like the political context in which he becomes a political actor. And Oeiras in the 1980s is basically a Lisbon bedroom community that happens to have a different local government. Most of the people work in the municipality going to work in Lisbon or just like doing service jobs locally.
Suburban mayor is a unique kind of crazy as well.
And in 85, the Social Democratic Party makes him the candidate for Oeiras, and he wins. And he's like,
hey, we can vote now. This is a novelty. Just whoever. You know?
Yeah. Let's vote for the guy who's associated with the party that ended the dictatorship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So. It's also he's at his ascendancy in the party as well when it's being led by José Manuel Durão Barroso. It's a piece of work, this guy. This guy, he joined the Portuguese. Here's funny. He joined a group at university called the Portuguese Workers Communist Party in opposition to the Salazar in the early 70s. But then when he has to become like a legitimate politician later, in an interview with the news magazine Expresso, he says he only joined that party to oppose the other student body movement, which was controlled by the Portuguese Communist Party.
That might be even true. Like, yeah. I can totally see the like underground student movements being split, like Marxist Leninist Maoist, for instance, or Leninist Trotskyist. So yeah, being like, well, obviously our secondary enemy is the Estado Novo. Our primary enemy are the slightly differently named communists.
Yeah, class. And then you become the like sort of neoliberal centrist sort of regime, essentially.
It's
and you're like, yeah, I didn't mean any of that.
Weird how many times this happened. Like, just all of the like kids who were like throwing paving stones at the cops. In the course of, like, I don't know, 10 years in power, just became like, well, maybe austerity?
Yeah. Hey, maybe we threw paving stones at the cops. Maybe it's time to defund all the daycares. Let's start with that. See if that helps.
Yeah, for sure. What if we privatized everything?
Yeah, Durão's favorite thing in the world is to go into governing coalitions with various right, like the Christian Democrats and the People's Party, and immediately implement like brutal austerity measures when he gets into power throughout like the 90s and 2000s. Anyway, the mayor. So one of the first things Moraes does after becoming mayor in 1990, he becomes mayor in 1995. The first big thing he does, he goes to Sydney, Australia, looks at the monorail and is like, yup, that's for us. We're going to get a monorail just like Sydney.
Isn't the Sydney monorail famously a huge white elephant that like is kind of deeply constrained by the, I think they call it the CBD in Sydney, the like fucking cannabis oil bit, and is like super expensive and not really as practical as like trams or whatever?
I don't know, but why don't we see what happened with Moraes' monorail?
Well,
and maybe that'll be instructive.
Well, almost every monorail is good and works forever and people love it. There's never been a bad... There's never been a monorail that people come to despise.
Gadget Deban is a slur.
Yeah. So basically, he goes to Sydney and he's like, we need a monorail immediately. And what he wants this for is to create a transport system between Oeiras and the business parks that are getting built around it and to connect it to the neighboring municipalities, including Sintra, the biggest one. The only issue... The mayor of Sintra, when asked about this, said, no, this seems crazy. So
well,
what does...
He said it was crazy because he was distracted by his like beautiful tiles.
So what does... he's just like looking off in the distance like, yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. What are we talking about? Like a bus or something?
I'm trying to assemble like a beautiful tiled mural with a bunch of like blue worked tiles. And then this guy comes in and is like, hey, you want a monorail? And I like jump and I like start and I throw all my tiles on the floor.
Yeah. Well, hey,
and
won't this monorail shake all my tiles around while it goes by?
Yeah. Get out of here.
Is this a danger to my tiles?
Right in many ways, this is the episode of things the hosts of this show know about Portugal.
So the mayor of Sintra, Adita Estrella from the Socialist Party, says, I don't think the plan is effective.
Mm-hmm.
One rail, how would that even work? Yeah.
And experts talked to by Sabado, one of the other Portuguese newspapers that was like doing a deep dive on the history of this, talked to an expert who was like, well, it's difficult to perceive how it could proceed in that case.
I also fucked up. Sintra isn't everywhere in Portugal was the tiles place, but Sintra is the stained glass place was what I was thinking of. Mm-hmm. I was confused because it's the subject of a board game about placing beautiful Portuguese tiles, but the spin-off of it that's about placing beautiful stained glass.
I see. Yeah. Accountability
just
moment.
Just so you know that. Yeah.
Accountability moment. Okay, so basically, also all these business
parks. But that's the thing, like stained glass, even worse with a monorail. You know, like tiles pretty hardy, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
If my shit's going to get jostled...
you want it grouted?
Stained glass is even,
if you're
it's even
jostling
worse.
Jostling my shit, like, and you're jostling my leaded stained glass? Come
Look,
on.
If you fucking jostle my shit and it's not grouted, we're going to have a problem. So basically, the business parks that are getting built around Oeiras and so on, there's no transport planning, which basically is just like, okay, well, it's all car-based. So he's like, okay, we're going to have this monorail, blah, blah, blah. A project has these enormous cost overruns because he basically didn't secure funding except for a public-private partnership that fell apart, didn't clear it with the neighboring towns, especially Sintra. And so like 10 years later, it's only like a kilometer long. It goes between one stop and a mall.
Aw, a single, like a baby, like an orphaned monorail. Yeah. That this guy, I'll say this though, he was able to get that much built and that's kind of impressive.
Yeah. And now, if you live there, you don't have to take an entire 12-minute walk.
Yeah. So the SATU, Sistema Automático de Transporte Urbano, takes passengers from the Paso de Arcos railway station to the Oeiras Park shopping center. It costs €1.50 return, and it's a 4-minute service.
It's a real, real shame that I noticed the word automático in there, because I think being the driver of like a monorail that runs 4 minutes and goes between two stops in Portugal in like suburban Lisbon sounds like maybe the best job in the world you could ever possibly have. You're probably in a union. You get to live in Portugal.
Yeah, I was going to say you get to drive the monorail for 4 minutes and then 1 hour long linguisha break.
Yep. Yep. And then get off work after doing that like 400 or 500 times in a day. Caipirinha time.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
And then it's
fantastic.
Like, hey, you know what? I'm not going back to my work until I've had my union mandated glass of ginja.
So, oh, that shit rock. That shit is so good though.
Yeah, it's really good.
We're genuinely trying to talk our way into a thing that like alienates every non-Portuguese listener, but every Portuguese or like Lucifile listener is now pointing at the screen in like anguish, begging us to do a Lisbon live show.
They're pointing at their barrel of ginginha that they keep in their house. I assume.
Is Caipirinha Brazilian? You'd think like cultural exchange would come back.
Yeah, anyway, so. I'm sure it has. That's right. So the other thing is, right, he's at this point, by the time the monorail opens, it's not his problem because in 2002, he briefly stops being mayor. And so it becomes the next person's problem.
That's the best way to stop being mayor is briefly.
So this is in 2004, the monorail transports 45,000 people during its first 5 months in service.
That's not a lot of people. It doesn't seem like a lot of people.
7.5% of what they projected.
Is that bad?
Oopsie. Whoopsie daisy. Yeah, like I said, and then it cost, the price only went up over the next 10 years. It never expanded, but it cost €1.65 instead of €1.50 to go from the train station to the mall.
I'm going to look up this mini monorail here.
Yeah, it's so ugly.
Yeah, it really doesn't look very good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's horrible. Yeah. No, I really don't like that, actually. Huh. Maybe I don't want the job, actually.
So this is from Expresso. The concrete viaduct with long towers does not go unnoticed as if it was a barrier. Evidently, it causes visual pollution, explained a landscape architect who preferred not to be identified. It costs more because this evil is not a lesser evil. It is not a greater good. It does not provide an effective service. It does not have a technical added value as transport. And the choice of an unmanned convoy is more of a political than a technical option.
Oh, so it doesn't even have a driver. Brutal.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, yeah, like I say, it gets pawned off on Teresa Zambujo, who up until then is vice mayor to Ixeltino Moraes. So in 2002, that guy I mentioned earlier, Durão, he wins like national election and says to his favorite guys, hey, come be in my cabinet. And so the vice mayor, Teresa Zambujo, replaces him as mayor. And it has to like deal with the like terrible monorail problem. He's like, okay, bye. I had my fun inaugurating this thing, getting inspired by Sydney and like planning the route and drawing on the map. Why don't you figure out how to make it work? Good luck. Goodbye. However, 2002 is a good year for Ixeltino Moraes because he gets a new government position in like the management of local government from the federal level.
Oh, sick. So he does such a bad job as mayor. He's like promoted to be like a kind of minister of mayors.
Correct. Yes.
Ideal.
He's also president of the Council of Social Democratic Mayors of Portugal like three times.
This guy's so good at being in charge of other mayors.
He's like really good at being the mayor, which we'll see. Mm. But so basically at this point though, after 1 year into his, into being the sort of mayor of the mayors, he's confronted by the newspaper.
The Mayormeister.
The Mayormeister. He's confronted by the O Independente newspaper where they said, hey, you seem to have three bank accounts in Switzerland and Belgium that contain a few million.
So suddenly we're against diversity now. It's not okay that my bank accounts have different nationalities.
Yeah, this is xenophobia.
What happened to Eurocentrism? Yeah. What happened to the union?
So he's charged. He's charged with income tax evasion and money laundering with these two bank accounts in Switzerland and Brussels. And because it's like, hey, you have 1.32 million euros in these accounts, but you only earned like 350,000 euros while being mayor from 1993 to 2002. And when asked how you got it, you just said, "Oh, people gave it to me. I inherited some money." Blah 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 blah. But you can't provide any proof of it.
To be fair.
Yeah.
People did give it to him.
Yeah.
For
what? We know not why. Maybe they just admired the like sort of extent of his bank account.
Yeah. People were paying extra to the monorail because they liked it so much.
And yeah, they're tipping.
I was sitting next to the fare box waving with a tip jar.
don't forget to tip your mayor. So basically, this is what the case is, right? So in 2003, he gets kicked out of the local government ministry. And then just has to work in the private sector. So the public prosecutor then investigates him, right? They say, okay, well, we think that more or less immediately since you got elected, you were, and I quote, obtaining patrimonial advantages at the cost of the interests of municipal taxpayers with the sole objective of self-enrichment.
You seldom see the adjective patrimonial these days, and I think that's a real shame.
I think that's a translation artifact.
No. I like the Portugal that exists in my head through translation apps better now, that everyone has this very like artful way of speaking.
Yeah, or it's like patrimonial or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I need you to know that like ADHD has me battling between the notes and looking through every image on the Wikipedia page for Sintra. So I'm very like romantically taken with Portugal at this point.
Okay, live show in Lisbon, it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically said, look, we think you've been receiving money in envelopes just delivered right to your office for like the usual mayoral kickback stuff, right?
Of course,
construction, land exchange, etc., etc.
Well, those are the people who have the money. If you wanted me to be bribed by people who weren't property developers, then maybe they should have all of the money, but they don't.
I'm playing the hand I'm dealt here, guys. So
why did you accept bribes from property developers? Because that's where the money is.
Idiot. You fucking moron.
You only take bribes from poor people, Your Honor?
They're not even going to be good at bribing me because they don't have any money.
Mm-hmm. This trial rumbles on for a while. He constantly gets convicted, but then he manages to appeal 44 times.
Incredible. I love a legal system like this. Italy's are still the best for me, but like this is up there, you know?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Wait, how many circuits of court do they have?
Well, it's like,
let's not worry about that. I mean, like, I assume stuff gets kicked up and then back down again.
Yeah, it gets like, kicked up and down.
This point of law is like wrong, so it has to go back to the lower tribunal, and then it takes them a year to like rehear it. And,
or you like challenge the scope of the prosecution, and they have to redo all of it, stuff like this.
Yeah, this is a developed by the Brazilian court system, and it's called Tiki Talk.
So, yeah, it's a very like aerial system of yeah.
All right, so he gets like he's in this situation where he's like for years now gets kicked out of public office, right? Because he stops being mayor in 2005, and he isn't in public office again until 2013
to spend more time with his bribes, I assume.
Yeah, sorry, excuse me. 2002. He is mayor in that time from 2005 to 2013, like while he's being tried. And, you know, he gets like acquitted of some of the charges. One of them is another one that we're seeing again, having seen originally earlier, which is economic participation in business, which Pedro Collado was also accused of.
You know, I've been trying to find out how many layers of courts Portugal has, and I can't, but I have found out that, I'm just going to read here, already internationally known for decades as excruciatingly slow and inefficient, Portugal's justice system was by 2011 the second slowest in Western Europe, after Italy's, even though it has one of the highest rates of judges and prosecutors in the world.
Inspector detectors. They have entire plane loads of inspector detectors. And they all have to agree.
It is reputed for overcapacity, useless redundancy, and a general lack of productivity as a whole.
Yeah, I was going to say, they might be even worse than Italy, and Italy is overweighted by the one Tom Ripley case they can't solve.
We're going to catch that guy.
We're gonna catch that guy one day.
Yeah, if we can. And so he's constantly grandstanding, right? He is constantly grandstanding because he says, okay, I'm innocent. You know, that no evidence was ever presented against me. Not a crime has been proven against me. I'm a scapegoat. They're just after me because I'm popular. They're just after me because you love me.
Mm-hmm. They're not after me. They're after you for your
backs. Why are you obsessed generally with me, justice system?
Yeah.
I don't think about you at all.
So, Moraes says that he's going to maintain his candidacy for the October elections, saying elections are one thing, justice is another. And he says, I was sentenced to a check for 4,000 euros to buy two paintings and then serve that for the crime of passive corruption, money laundering, and tax fraud. He's like always minimizing it. So I was convicted of abusive power just for having received...
He's doing literally the like describing your crime in the most general possible thing. So it's illegal to pick up a check, you know?
I was convicted of abusive power just for having received land in Cape Verde from the city council of São Vicente in the context of cooperation between local authorities. But he did receive the land, it seems, personally.
Yeah, like, but that's fine though, because the mayor and the sort of like land are one, right? Yeah, they share a kind of common body.
The mayor has two bodies.
Yeah.
And so he's like, he's constantly getting convicted and then appealing. And he basically, as long as he appeals, then it allows him to stay mayor and get elected again.
Does he have mayoral immunity, like in like a Lethal Weapon?
Well, kind of, because he gets elected. He's like the PSD supports Teresa Zambujo, who was like took over for him. Basically, is like, well, clearly we have to support the incumbent mayor against the crime guy, and it doesn't matter. Moraes wins handily on as head of the Ixelatino Moraes party.
Incredible.
What do the people of the town?
Moraes.
Yeah. What do they think he's doing that's so hot and good?
I have a lot of quotes from townspeople. Okay. We're going to get to those.
Okay.
He says, politics is on one side and justice is on the other, which I mentioned earlier. Let's vote. My candidacy is presented and the people of Huaraz know how to choose. If it weren't for Ixelatino Moraes, mayor of Huaraz and former minister to be tried, I would have been acquitted already. There are probably those who want it to serve as an example and I'll be a good example. So yeah, he's like, they're just after me because they're doing a witch hunt for the awesome mayor with the cool monorail.
I'm looking at these business parks.
There are never accused jurors that have been on the monorail before, but luckily that's only one or two of them in the whole town.
So the thing is, so it's like this process of appealing and grandstanding and just getting elected happens over and over and over again, right? He's finally arrested and sent to prison in 2013 at lunchtime near the city hall.
Oh, you wouldn't arrest a man at lunch.
Yeah, let him finish lunch.
Yeah.
But he literally, legally has to stop being mayor, but that doesn't matter at all to anybody. So this guy, Paulo Vistas, until then, the vice mayor of Huaraz, is in the Isaltino Moraes party, gets elected mayor on the Isaltino Moraes ticket. But that's only after they tried to nominate Moraes from prison as the head of the list. And then the constitutional court simply said, you cannot be mayor from jail.
Calling in from jail, like Flavor Flav. I do like the campaigning on the, I will do whatever this guy would have done. I'm basically him. I know his thoughts intently.
Yeah, only I'm not in jail. I will be his voice. You know, like how a mafia don can run his organization from prison? That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. I'm the voice of Sauron, but for some guy in jail.
The funny thing is, that doesn't stop him from taking all of his positions, right? The Huaraz City Council, controlled by the Isaltino Moraes party, appoints him as president of the board of directors of the Marques de Pombal Foundation, who's the guy, like this aristocrat in the 17th century who turned Huaraz from a village into a town, basically. Like, he's the guy there. Like Moraes's...
He was the guy before Moraes.
Well, yeah, he was Moraes before Moraes. And his like mayoral throne is in front of a multi-square meter portrait of the Marquis de Pombal.
Incredible.
Yeah. So he basically, from jail, gets made the president of the board of directors of this foundation from 2013 to 2016, but he has to wait until 2014 to take it up after he gets out of jail. The prosecutor, again, said, please do not parole this man, as there are no well-founded and serious reasons that can demonstrate why he won't just do this again in future.
It's really, really funny to be like, hey, when do we have a new managing director? And the answer is, depends on like good behavior, I guess. We'll see how his parole hearing goes.
Well, yeah, so he gets out, right?
Of course. Starts walking like Kaiser Soze.
Yeah, he writes a second book.
Okay, and bearing in mind, so the author of Framework Law of Local Authorities, Competence of the Respective Bodies and Complementary Legislation, annotated, writes a second book. Okay, I'm excited. This is going to be a banger. Hit me with the title.
How long is the title?
It's called My Prison, What If It Happens to You?
Taking a very different tone here, maybe. Okay.
Yeah. Like what if you go to jail? Vote for me.
Yeah. Becoming a prison abolitionist because you went to prison is a really good bit. Just not like out of any like, oh my God, it's terrible in there, but like, this should not happen to me again, specifically.
In a lot of ways, I not only am I an abolitionist, I'm a me going to prison abolitionist as well.
Yeah, just for myself. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he says, it's an experience being in prison that I think should be told for pedagogical reasons. Being in freedom is, along with physical health, the most precious good that exists. I was deprived of freedom for 14 months. Naturally, there's a different dimension of details of life that before we didn't take advantage of properly, and now we must take advantage of another way. When you're alone in a cell...
I didn't know this before, but like prison, it's bad.
Prison's bad, yeah.
I like being able to go places. It turns out I found this out about myself. I did a lot of soul searching.
So he shared his cell with four other inmates. He made friends, and including like other white collar criminals, who he took walks with in the yard. He says, prisoners in principle are treated equally, but they're not all the same. And what's important is the emotional intelligence of each one. Dealing with people, trying to understand them. And I was always available to listen.
Speech checks all the time.
Well, he says, if people ask me for advice or to help write anything, I was always available. It was easy for me. I'm still not well in myself, but I think I made friends in prison. That's the reality. He was trying to be mayor of prison.
It sounds like a report from summer camp.
Yeah, this is the solution to the male loneliness problem. Stick the guys in a room together.
Yeah, lock it up.
Lock it up.
So he says, I still don't know what I'm going to do. I want to rest my spirit. I don't even talk about politics or justice right now. I'm just interested in savoring the good things that freedom gives us, and people can continue to see me. I'll continue to have walks and greet people here in Huaraz, which he does.
Every day is a gift.
Yeah, again, he says, he asked about the crimes for which he was convicted, and I'm sure this is a translation artifact, but he said, I was convicted by mere conviction of the courts.
Listen, it's a court, right? Yeah. Only God can judge me.
I was convicted on a technicality because I was technically guilty of the crime I was accused of.
In many ways, the most technicality being found guilty by a jury of my peers or a judge.
So I'm sure that like he I'm sure that he meant something else, but that's how it was translated.
No, he did not. I think we can say unequivocally he did not mean something else. He meant it exactly that way.
So he's still appealing this thing like years later. Like because he appeals it to the ECHR saying he was discriminated against because he was mayor.
They should make mayor a protected category.
That's our joke forever, is that mayor is a protected class. I can't believe he went to the ECHR. That's incredible.
Yeah. and it's all the way up until 2022. He was fighting this thing in the courts. And
maybe it's not just sort of like self-serving. Maybe he also just really loves being in court.
I think it's maybe he's a crush on the judge.
I don't think you appeal 44 times unless you've like, your eyes have met across the bench and you're like, you're just trying to see that one judge again.
Maybe it's like the court is like that one train station in Porto and the tile work is just really beautiful and he wants to look at it.
Yeah. So, but this is like in 2022.
Very racist of us to be like, this Portuguese guy, I think motivated probably by like tiles and affinity for tiles.
Loving
tiles.
That's his national character. They're all like that. You know how it is.
He's drinking Jijinha. He's looking at tiles. He's sipping a Porto Tonico.
So, invited a Portuguese guy over, but he keeps like looking at my bathroom and like making comments about the tile work.
He's looking at my bathroom and sighing and looking sad.
Well, in a different way, it's called saudade.
None of the tiles. Sorry, I was just in your house and I was using your bathroom. I just want to get this straight. So none of the tiles have anything on them.
They're plain,
unadorned, these tiles.
You're like, Riley, I don't know if you knew this. They didn't finish your bathroom. It's just white tile in there.
Yeah, it's actually really like fucked up. But also, you've only got like the one kind of base color instead of like six.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, in 2013, after he gets out of jail, the first thing he does is he runs for mayor again. And he wins.
They love this guy. They can't get enough of him.
Yeah, they genuinely love him.
That's incredible.
And here's the funny thing is, the Ixaltino Moraes party supports Paulo Vistas against Ixaltino Moraes, who starts a new Ixaltino Moraes party called Ixaltino Inovar Oeras de Volta, or INOV8.
Incredible.
So he's a local municipal Peronist, where it's like your choices are the right Ixaltino Moraes party or the left Ixaltino Moraes party. Continuity Moraes.
Oh, this is just like communist student politics before the revolution.
And here's the thing, Maddie, you said earlier, what do his supporters say about him?
Yeah. Why do they like this guy so much?
84% of his supporters acknowledge that he's a criminal, but also believe that it's irrelevant.
Ideal. Incredible.
84%. He's like, he's in their brains. They say, Ele
sort of Tiffany Henyard.
Yeah, I was going to say, there a fungus involved?
Says, they got twinned with Dalton. No, he said, Ele Ruba Mashfash, which is the butchered Portuguese version of the expression that like his supporters, that's like the slogan almost. Mm-hmm. The unofficial slogan. He steals, but he works.
Incredible.
Yeah. A 43-year-old businesswoman interviewed says, look, justice was done. If the law allows the candidacy, I don't see why it should be challenged. All the evolution of the municipality is due to work carried out by Ixaltino Moraes' mandates. Let him run.
It's like, because when he's stealing, he's in the office.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So in 2017, he runs again and he wins again. One of the things he promises to do is finish the monorail.
This has become his like kind of Ozymandias statue, I feel.
Oh yeah. Now, of course, spoiler alert, he does not do that.
Vast and trunkless pylons.
One vast and trunkless rail. Line.
Yeah, yeah, rail. So from 2017, his main project is to try to make Oeiras the Silicon Valley of Portugal. And he does kind of have some success at doing this. A lot of tech companies like Google and stuff and Cisco and Microsoft rent spaces in those office parks and build like operational back offices in Oeiras. There aren't like venture funded startups, right? You know, Portuguese tech companies that exist are largely headquartered in Lisbon, but the unemployment rate remains relatively low, which is exceptional for Portugal. And it's a pretty prosperous, wealthy place. And he also is like, his policies aren't always terrible, but a lot of them are terrible, but not all of them are. Mm. So he says, for example, about the real estate crisis in Portugal, poor families and impoverished middle classes can't find working housing, because there's not housing with low enough prices. So it's necessary for the state to build housing for the poor and the impoverished middle classes. But he supports like council housing, basically. Cool. He's doing like he's sort of running the city kind of, or it seems he's running the city kind of well, just also very corrupt. Where it's almost like he's like, look, I'm doing a good job, so I'm gonna give myself a raise. So anyway, he's named as a defendant in another public corruption trial, again, about unfair contracting. The activity was said to have taken place in 2012, but the charges were brought in 2022. So this is transcribed from the television news. The public ministry says the mayor of Huaraz favored a civil construction company in several public-private partnerships, which will damage the municipality by millions of euros. It was the intention of Ixelatira Morais to carry out large-scale construction works to show he had done something to have a better chance of being reelected in the 2009 local elections. The problem? The indebtedness limit of the town council.
It's very, very funny to be like, hey, this guy's trying to keep his campaign promises.
Yeah.
I mean, he is doing it for like deeply corrupt reasons, but that is funny to be like, he's just trying to show he's done something.
Oh, 100%. Although, again, it's like when, who was the mayor who did like the insane paving rollout? I think that might have been Lantigua.
That was Lantigua who repaved the entire town overnight.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It's a little bit like that because also a lot of the construction is like shitty and doesn't get done. And gets built on floodplains and stuff.
Yeah.
and also, like, he keeps privileging these companies and he keeps, like, overpaying them because he's just like, no, we got to keep this going. So he's basically, like, corrupt, but it doesn't appear to be entirely self-serving in this case.
He steals, but he works.
Yeah. Yeah, he steals, but he works. So it's like flawed tenders, announces very short deadlines to hinder competitors, giving inside information to this one company. And it's like, you have no idea how or if they're paying him, right? It says, the way the business model was used for the construction of the Huaraz Congress Center. The work stopped halfway through when 12 million euros had already been spent. Now all that remains is a concrete structure exposed to wind and rain, and the resumption of the construction work has been announced. But then it didn't keep going. It's just still broken.
I'm waving the big foam finger that says vast and trunkless legs on it.
This guy loves building vast and trunkless legs.
A vast and trunkless convention center.
Never skip vast and trunkless leg day.
So it's like 169 million euros he spends versus a 58 million euro budget in all of these public-private partnerships across schools, care centers, this abandoned new city hall, the abandoned conference center. Then like millions of illicit profits go to this one company, and Moraes faces 2 to 8 years imprisoned if convicted. He's still on trial for this. But again, like all while this is happening, there's another like puff piece about him that comes out around the same time. Walking into the impressive main room of the council offices, dominating by paintings, including one gigantic one of Marquis de Pombal, and seeing the mayor smoking a Cuban cigar in front of a dark mahogany desk, sitting on a chair of throne-like proportions.
God, Portugal's so cool.
Surrounded by a group of anxious and attentive staff and assistants, certainly does give you the feeling of being ushered into the audience with a king, if not a czarist governor. But the mayor stresses the importance of his walkabouts. I hold audience on a daily basis, although the official day is Thursday, but hardly a week goes by where I don't take a tour of the entire city to make sure the streets are clean and the parks are well-maintained. I do this and I chat with locals because that way I hear firsthand about the problems I might not otherwise get to learn. So basically, he's like constantly doing things. He's totally regime pilled. The two main parties in the city are the Ixelatira Morais party, like different versions of it.
Yeah. And also, like, if you are the mayor of a suburb or a smaller town or something, it is really easy to be pretty beloved by just being seen out and about.
Yeah.
Your
local character.
Being a local figure.
Yeah. To be like a guy, be like, oh, I'm electing the guy I know is a real powerful pull.
Yeah. So there's like, that's not the only controversy that dogs him, though. He also faces like a kind of restaurant gate controversy. So in August 2023, Moraes and members of the city council, they presented invoices for that the council paid for like 1,500 working lunches, often at the same time in different restaurants. And often consuming
this man's so efficient he can eat 1,500 lunches at the same time,
which consists of like high end products in luxury restaurants, including lobster rice. And Moraes was like, "I've never eaten lobster in my life.
Don't even know what it tastes like. Bad, yeah. I assume. That's why it's so expensive, is to discourage people."
And it was like 139,000 euros. And so what Moraes does is he starts a gastronomy blog and then says it was a benefit to all these restaurants. Where he was accused of wasting public money at, because he's so loved that everyone just went to those restaurants and ordered what he ordered.
He started a fad for lobster rice.
Yeah. He presented to the media a list of 51 restaurants frequented by him and his team in Huaraz, as well as the best dishes from each, countering that the team only frequented 3 restaurants mentioned in the news. The publication of the list resulted in a doubling of the numbers of customers at some of the restaurants mentioned, with most dishes ordered being those mentioned by Moraes. And again, I looked at the comments here of people being like, hey, maybe it's sort of weird that, you know, this is clearly kind of a waste of money. I think he might be taking the piss here. It's like, he says, someone called Juan Ferreira says, listen there, oh stupid. The bills are paid by city council, and who pays them? Anonymous replies, go work, you fucking communist.
I incredible. Yeah. I never stop Google translating things, yeah, please.
Listen there, oh stupid is an incredible. Oh, yeah. You only go and you translate a romance language into English. And it's really beautiful to look at.
And he's still on trial. Like, new charges are coming to him every day. Where our city hall was raided 4 weeks prior to this recording to the day. And so again, like, I'm looking at like Reddit comments about him from people who live locally where they're like, is Isaltino corrupt? That's a fact. Is Isaltino the best mayor nationally? That's also a fact. Next question.
He's doing like the Matrix stuff to the planefuls of inspector detectors are thrown at him.
And he's still building white elephant projects. The new municipal forum.
Well, I mean, you talk about trunkless.
Yeah, oh boy.
Right there.
So the new municipal forum costs 150% more than the $28 million that was budgeted for it. It's undergone one contract modification a month since it started to be built, and has no completion date. And he posted to Facebook, Isaltino Moraes, he shows a visit to like a shipyard, being like, oh, the municipal, this work is progressing at a good pace. It'll soon be inaugurated. Everything in time for the municipal elections. It's still not done. The municipal forum was approved in 2019. And again, it was going to be built in 2 years. After 4 years, it's still not done. And even then, he's so brash and bold. He's like, oh yeah, he shot a time capsule out of like a slingshot into the foundations of the building. It's a stainless steel tube with a paper inside with the name of the people who were there that day, written so that in 1,000 years, if the new mayor noticed, he would know who was there. Isaltino also put a 5-euro bill.
Getting hit with like a mortar shell with the like a miniature of the Ozymandias statue in it.
So yeah, but again, all these things keep happening where it's like the corrupt construction practices, the kickbacks, and he just styles it out every time and the people just keep loving him. He's unbeatable.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's like there's this huge half-built auditorium with no end in sight. And then he's like, there was a flood, right? There was a flood in Huaraz. Where the year before the flood, Moraes was like, Huaraz is not built on a floodbed. There hasn't been a flood here for years. There won't be a flood. I don't understand. We talk about this because it hasn't been built for a floodbed for many, many years, said the mayor during an extraordinary meeting of the Huaraz City Council dedicated to flood problems 1 year before the flood killed someone.
He's not thinking about the flood council. He's busy thinking about the time capsule. Commencing.
Yeah. He's busy thinking about like the restaurants he's going to go to and how it's actually a net tax benefit because more people go eat out when he eats out.
Opening up the like time capsule in the foundations of the mall and it's 1,500 servings of lobster rice.
And here's another new charge. This is from this year.
He's still going.
He's still going.
He can't be stopped.
Where he awarded a contract to his own daughter who runs a company called Pure Choice, which does like mental health, integrated psychology services and promoting worker mental health. So he got like his daughter's version of BetterHelp.
Better help. Yeah, sure.
He got daughter help for the municipality. And again, he's like, pays 116,000 euros. And wouldn't you know it, Pure Choice or daughter help is headquartered in a building that he personally owns.
Well,
yeah,
sure.
She'll be more motivated to do it right if she knows the mayor.
You know, now daddy's watching. Mm-hmm. So again, here's a Reddit comp. I use Reddit for a lot of this because I wanted to see what people say about him when they live there. Again, I don't know what to say about this politician. The idea I have of him is that he does everything he can for people. And along the way, he does some things that are less than correct. But everyone loves Isaltino because he manages to have one of the best municipalities with free university tuition for locals. And when there were floods, he advanced money to businesses and people before the insurance companies paid.
Yeah, he just had all of that cash handy. He was just able to do that.
Yeah. So the floods that happened because, and again, like the Greens constantly excoriate him for this, for like, just building stuff on floodplains, for denaturing the soil, for overburdening rivers, like all this stuff, just building basically without planning and rarely finishing anything. People were like, when the flood happened, he paid us. We don't care.
he's splitting tips.
Floating a big suitcase full of cash around.
Yeah. And so it's just on and on and on again. And it's like, this guy is just, he's completely chaotic, right? And here's the really funny thing, which is that Ixeltiro Moraes is running not at the head of any Moraes party again, mm-hmm. but again with the endorsement of the Social Democratic Party, which has let him back in.
The election. It's like, oh my God, okay.
What?
The election will be in October, and it is the last one he's legally allowed to run in before he gets term limited. I assume there will be a referendum with 150% turnout and 400% like reinstate Ixeltiro Moraes after the election, after his term limited out. He's 75. He's really old.
That's crazy. Why'd they let him back in? I guess everyone just loves him.
Yeah, everyone loves him too much. Wild. And the Social Democratic Party is really unpopular.
Yeah. Well,
so they're like, all right, I guess.
Want some of that Moraes juice.
Yeah. And so, you know, he's like, well, the only way we can beat Chega is with this guy. He seems to have hypnotized an entire town. Anyway.
Wow.
Anyway, that's what I have about Ixeltiro Moraes and the various sort of wacky string of crimes, misdemeanors, and crazy projects that he has inflicted on a bedroom community outside Lisbon.
This is now two elections that we're having to monitor. We're having to monitor the one in Minot and the one that's going to happen in Moraes.
And we have to keep monitoring the London, Kentucky situation.
I mean, we'll never stop monitoring. We've set up a field office. Of course, there.
This is spooling out, yeah, into a kind of like no gods, no mayors, like global intelligence operation.
I'm actually receiving kickbacks on a big sort of no gods, no mayors office that's a quagmire that I've been building for 10 years. In London, Kentucky, to monitor the situation.
Oh, my quagmire? Yeah, you're familiar with my quagmire?
Yeah, and you're building it on a quagmire that will never flood.
Yeah, that'll never flood. No, I'm slapping the side of it and saying I can fit so many trunks in this bad boy. what's also very funny about them building on the floodplain is like it's right next door. I was looking at the history of Moraes, and it only exists like the marquis basically became like an important figure because he like took over some control of Lisbon after it was flattened by an earthquake and also a flood at the same time in the 1700s. It's very funny to be like, well, our town that was founded because of a huge flood destroying Lisbon, certainly next door to Lisbon on the same exact coastline, couldn't possibly also flood.
If that happened, it would be inconvenient for my plans. So don't worry about it.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Now back to my trunk.
back to finally putting a trunk on these two legs. Anyway. That's Ixeltiro Moraes. I feel like a Portuguese listener might know, might find a couple things that I've missed. Like there are things that I just didn't have time to include. Like that when there was a papal visit to Moraes, he like personally had all of the billboards about clerical abuse taken down.
Jesus.
Like there's a million tiny, strict, crazy things about this guy.
Yeah.
But this is him. This is my mayor. I have many more like him, but this is the one for this week.
Yeah. Thank you so much for bringing this man to us, Riley. He's very, he's very wonderful and beautiful. And I, you know what? I love him and I'm voting for him.
We're going to write him in every election.
I'm going to start writing him in.
Look, the only way I've decided to get back involved in electoral politics, I think the only way that Britain is going to be able to shake off the kind of neoliberal doldrums is to rally behind a leader that actually is going to be able to flex these principles, is going to be able to challenge Parliament.
Moraesism. Yeah.
Yeah. Ixeltiro Moraes, the leader of the Green Party. Anyway. All right.
All right.
Thank you very much for listening to No Gods, No Mayors. I don't know if this is, it's a free one. So there's going to be a bonus one coming.
This is free. Mm-hmm. I'm on the next bonus next week, which I don't know who the mayor is yet. The mayor Tankulus has not accessed my brainstem and spoken through my mouth yet about who it's going to be, but it's between a couple and it's going to be good. I can promise. No Gods, No Mayors, .com.
Okay.
Come see me on book tour. I love you all.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
When you're riding high and mighty on your
your fine opinion polls. Cause your name's up top the ticket and you're getting out the vote. They tell you don't forget the grassroots and the swelling of the ground. When your sash is on your shoulder and your city hall stands proud. Before the municipal rodeo, before the local level governmental do-si-do, before the little city civil service wild west show, that's the way the mayoral roundup goes. Yeah. Now you've been in battle badly, but you're doing yourself proud. And those chomos don't know nothing, they're just talking tough and loud. But the moonshine and the sink fund are your only cronies now. When your sash falls off your shoulder and your city hall falls down, down at the municipal rodeo, at the local level governmental do-si-do, at the little city civil service wild west show, that's the way the mayoral roundup goes. For my next item. You've been derided in and doubted and a million things beside it. They'd have liked to see the price tag on the SUV, but they don't like where you've been reaching and they're talking about impeaching. But it's just something that comes with any mayoralty. They're thinking they can stick you in with a one-way turkey ticket. You meant to get them back somehow, but your sash fell off your shoulder and your city hall fell down. So do the municipal rodeo, do the local level governmental do-si-do, do the little city civil service wild west show. It's a grand corral royale, it's a goddamn thing in hell, but that's just the way the mayoral